Coffeehouse Shots is sponsored by Look Forward, the podcast from Rathbones on what the future might look like. Find out more at rathboneslookforward.com.
Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm John Connolly and I'm joined today by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. Today's been some good news after Public Health England approved a new antibody test developed by the Swiss pharmaceutical company Roche, which is apparently 100% accurate, and it will show who has had the coronavirus. James, to start us off, we've had these different antibody tests before, for example, at Porton Down. How is this one different, and is it a bit of a game changer?
So the difference about this is it's scalable. It works on a blood sample in kit that's in nearly every hospital lab or research lab in the country. So you can do a large number of these tests and process the results quickly, which is obviously good news. So all the way through, we've been told, oh, the antibody test would be a game changer. That was based on two ideas. One, that a very large amount of the population might have had coronavirus and not even realised it because they'd been asymptomatic. And the second hope was that once you had had it, you definitely couldn't get it again. Now, both of those hopes have taken a knock in recent weeks. First of all, it seems like that even in London, it's only in the low double digits number of people have had the virus. And then the second thing is there's still no certainty or not over whether having had it gives you immunity. It probably does. But then the general view seems to be the more seriously you had it, the more immunity you have. But we don't know how long that immunity lasts. I mean, this is one of the constant problems for people, as Matt Ridley pointed out in his brilliant cover story last week, in dealing with this virus, is because it is a new virus, we simply don't know the answer to so many questions, because we can't say how long the immunity lasts, because no one has had coronavirus for 12 months. The maximum length of time people have had it, depending on, is 5. And so there is just so much that we don't know about this virus.
And Katie, how are these tests going to be used in the immediate prospects? Are they going to be parceled out to people yet, do you think, who request one?
So as I understand it, the government is in negotiations to get these tests. I think in some reports it suggests that the German government have already got an order in. So while they've been approved, and this is now seen as something that is preferable and the government is going to use going forward, I don't think we're at the point where they are about to immediately be rolled out. I think in terms of what they can be used for, so one thing which from the beginning they've really wanted antibody tests for is if you think about health workers who are unable to work because they have coronavirus symptoms and things, having an antibody test will show if you've had it previously could make it easier to know who can work with the vulnerable and who can go back into work when these things happen. I think secondly, there's a much more controversial idea of immunity certificates. We know it's something the government has discussed, and there are several reasons it's a bit more complicated than just giving people an immunity certificate and saying go back to work or go back to normal life. Firstly, because ultimately it's not 100% clear what level of immunity having coronavirus previously gives you. That's still something that's being looked into. And secondly, there are concerns that this is going to lead to a situation where I think if you look at SAGE, so the group advising the government in terms of scientific advice, they've raised queries over whether immunity certificates would be a good idea, even if you could argue that they would be effective in taking people back to work, because you could create a two-tier society and you could also incentivize people to get ill. Now, and obviously it would depend partly on government support and things like that, but if it is the case that people have immunity certificates, are in a position to go for new jobs as they come up, and those who don't have immunity certificates can't, that is clearly not an ideal situation. I think something which would be quite controversial to bring in.
Mm. James, in the magazine this week, you mentioned the fact that we probably need around 500,000 tests a day to do a proper test and trace capability. Do you think this test today will help with that?
Well, these are antibody tests that tell you who has had the virus in the past, not who currently has the virus. I think there is a quite a spirited debate in government about what level of testing capacity you need to make test and trace work. Some people think that if you can hit 200,000 tests a day by the end of this month, as is the government's target, then you are there. Other people think that if you're going to properly lift the lockdown, you need the capacity to do 500,000 tests a day, because what you need to be able to do is swoop in if there was a spike in a place, say Bristol, and just test huge amounts of people in that area to determine how big the outbreak is. So the government, having failed to ramp up testing earlier in the process, there is now a desire to have to develop a really large testing capacity. But I think that going from 200,000 to 500,000 is going to be very difficult. The government has exceeded 100,000 tests today. I think they've done 126,000 today. But getting from 126,000 to 500,000 is a big ask.
Mm. And Katie, in other news, the ONS has released some data today which suggests that the number of people who currently have coronavirus is much lower than expected. The data, I should say, was outside of hospitals and care settings. How do you think this is going to affect the government's strategy at the moment?
Yeah, so the data out today shows that 0.27% of people in England have an infection on average in the wider community. So again, we already knew that the epicenter of this epidemic at first were clearly hospital cases, but more recently care homes have seen a sharp rise in the number of cases, and that is ongoing. Even if there have been falls, it's still a very real problem. But ultimately, community transmission is the thing that we keep hearing about in terms of lockdown easing. And I think that this number today will inform it to a degree. I think it could provide some reassurance to some that, you know, the rate in community is fairly low, but ultimately it all comes down to the R number, because that's what the government has decided to navigate everything through. Now, we've also had some interesting data today about the regional differences, you know, according to some across the country in terms of the R number. So London is thought to have an R number around 0.4, but it's much higher in the North England, in the north of England, and also the southwest, and it's thought to be around 0.8. So I think that probably gives us more of a sense, because we're thinking about it in terms of anything above one is when the government would think it was not possible really to have anything going on other than a fuller lockdown. I think that getting a sense of what we're going to be able to do is probably easier to look at that, just because it is the government's preferred metric. But already we're getting a sense of the regional differences. And although Boris Johnson wanted the whole United Kingdom to move together, this is the week where that has hit several stumbling blocks, not least because the devolved administrations are having some slight differences, not huge, but there are differences in different parts of the United Kingdom. And I think going forward, we know that the government is prepared in the future, if there is a flare-up in one specific area, to have restrictions placed in that area rather than the whole of the UK, if they can get this app to work with that and things like that. So I think the regional variations are very interesting, thinking about what's going to be coming in the next few months.
Yeah. Do you think, James, it'll be difficult for the government to lift sort of measures nationally then, if it is higher, for example, in certain regions?
So I think there are two things going here. I think that the regional mayors are very opposed to the idea of a localised policy of lifting within England, because their view is, if everyone sitting in Manchester or Birmingham sees footage on 6 o'clock news of everyone in London heading out because the lockdown has been eased further there than in the rest of the country, it will become increasingly hard to police the lockdown. I think the second point is, in a way, more interesting than the regional R's, is we almost need a 3 R's policy, which is, you need to know what the R is in the community, what the R is in hospitals, and what the R is in care homes. Because in some ways, if the R number is being pushed up by hospitals and care homes, that is a different problem from the R number being high in the community. And you might have more room to ease the lockdown, given that you can, for example, isolate care homes, if the R is very low in the community but being pushed up by the number of infections in hospitals and care homes. But for the R to give you a proper number, we probably need to be conducting more community testing than we currently are.
Mm. And do you get any sense, Katie, of why the infection is so sort of out of control in hospitals? If, you know, if it's implied that the number of cases is very low in the community, that just suggests that the sort of in hospitals it's becoming very difficult to control.
Well, I think it depends. I mean, ultimately, it's going to be higher in hospitals because that is where everyone with serious symptoms of coronavirus is going. I think the fact that it's lower in the community is in part because we have been in lockdown now for several weeks. So there just hasn't been a situation where we are meeting many people in our day-to-day life, which means it's not transferring in the way it had been when everyone's going about normal life. I think in terms of hospital and infections, there's interesting news today that, you know, A&E admissions have fallen to a record low level. There is definitely a concern, I think people have, that hospitals, A, you don't want to go to hospital because they're so busy with coronavirus patients, you don't want to add to the burden. But I also think that some people worry that if you go to hospital, you stand a very high chance of contracting coronavirus. Measures are being put in place, but it's just one of the complicating factors here.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.
Coffeehouse Shots is sponsored by the Rathbones Look Forward podcast. Join the world's leading thinkers, writers, and scientists discussing the future of our ever-changing world. In the latest episode, historian Tom Holland talks to broadcaster Andrea Catherwood on the future of morality. Find out more at rathbonesLookForward.com.